and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up your most important computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com now, today. Don't wait till it's too late. Use my offer code Stephanie for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. Do it. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there, executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. This is, oh, you know what? I'm getting a little too big for my fancy Hollywood britches story.
Uh-oh.
But here's a calendar event. I don't think this is in the calendar because I'm not performing.
Okay.
But I'm going. If you're here in L.A., you really must go to the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center Gala this Saturday.
Gala?
Did I say that wrong?
No, I'm just...
Did I delineate the wrong?
No, I just made a gay joke. Gala,
I get
you
it.
See.
I get it, because that's...
Mm-hmm.
All right, check this out. I'm going to be a mess. You know why?
Why?
Well, my friend Lily Tomlin is hosting it.
Right.
Who I've known her 20 years. She called me yesterday, and I still, here's what I say. Every time I say, flan. I can't. What do you say when you, well, particularly when you speak for a living, and you're obviously very, very eloquent like I am.
Yeah.
I always say, Lily, flan.
At least she doesn't hit
Since
you.
The first interview 10 years, or 20 years ago,
yeah.
I just say flung.
At least she doesn't hit you in the chest.
Oh, she did. She punched you and Jim.
Yeah.
Who knew she was so physical?
I had no idea. I took it as a love tap.
All right, are you ready for this? It is a... here's the other thing. If you think I'm already flat,
mm-hmm.
Guess who else is going to be there?
Who?
Carol Burnett.
Oh, my God.
Carol Burnett will also be performing, who I've never met, who is also one of my heroes. And so I will just be a little puddle.
Have you ever talked to her?
No.
No, really?
No.
Oh,
no.
Oh dear.
I'm a skeert. And Jane Lynch, Emmy winner Jane Lynch, will be getting an award. Yeah, how can you miss this? It's at the Hyatt Regency Century Plaza Hotel. I believe there are still tickets. Anniversarygala.org. Hmm. Check it out. Go hang out with me and Lily and Carol and
Jane.
Jane Lynch, and, you know. All right.
There are going to be some lesbians there.
Apparently some gays and lesbians. It's right in the title.
Oh, okay.
So go support all the great stuff they do there. Oh, and our friend Julie Brown is going to be performing.
Wow.
That's how I found out about it in the first place.
So is it just a chick event?
It's an anniversary gala and auction. It's a...
Because all you've mentioned are chicks.
Broadway veteran Matthew Morrison from Footloose and Hairspray are also getting an award.
Matthew Morrison from Glee.
Yes.
Okay.
You
he plays
me.
Mr. Shoe.
You annoy me. Go, Dad, support the fine folks over there.
Why right. do I annoy you? I'm just checking. Are men
no,
invited too?
No, it's not just a chick thing. All right. All right. Oh, looky. It's another unsolicited testimonial to the power of the Steph sponsors. Jason, Steph, sorry to be Captain Downer. I just found out this morning my brother's 14-year-old yellow lab, Phoebe, had to be put down because of... Oh, dear. She was truly wonderful and sweet dog. Thanks to your recent information about Cedarside. I get more thank you mail. You just would not believe about this. I've been looking into purchasing some for both of my labs. I send this email not as any sort of testimonial, but as a sincere thank you. I'm saddened by having lost Phoebe. And I'm hoping switching to Cedarside will help my girls live out their remaining years as healthy and happy, smelly, lovey-dovey as possible. They do smell good. Mm, like a cedar closet.
Mm, yep.
It's on the way to my home. As I type this, I really appreciate that you have a social conscience that extends beyond we the people. Dogs are amazing, and my dream is to one day be as genuinely decent as they are. Thanks, Steph. Jason.
Aww.
I have that sign on my wall. I want to be the person my dog thinks I am. Because, as you know, I'm not. I am a biatch.
I didn't say it.
Shut up.
What?
All right.
Hey!
Dennis, let's see. Oh, no, wait a minute. Hang on. This is from Jeff in LeClaire, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
These are not so fun facts, really. Mm-hmm. Not such a fun midterm, really.
No.
Steph, what we learned from the midterm election. Hey, Steph, what did we learn? We learned Sarah Palin is so wildly popular that slightly more than one-third of the candidates she endorsed won their election. That funneling millions of dollars from Chinese companies to Republican candidates is good, but letting Acorn register black people to vote is evil.
Right.
Contrary to conventional wisdom, the campaign slogan, I'm not a witch, did not win over nearly as many voters as you might expect. That a sobbing, self-pitying, orange-skinned drunk who spends more days of the year playing golf than in Congress will now be third in succession to the presidency.
God, that
Yikes.
Scares me.
I thought of that, can I just say, with the horrible, toxic, violent, racist kind of brew out there.
Yeah.
Then if you get your head stomped by Rand Paul supporter, you're expected to apologize for the damage your head did to the heel of his boot. That Kentucky voters are so concerned about coal mine safety, they elected the guy to the Senate who wants to roll back all those pesky safety regulations in order to maximize coal industry profits. That if you apologize to the company that dumped billions of gallons of crude oil on your shores, you get to be chairman of the House Energy Committee. Finally, we learned that, just like Linda Lovelace, the teabaggers didn't choke on the big one.
What?
Hey, what's that mean?
I don't really know what that part meant. I just read it because it was written there.
Mm.
All right. Oh, now here's Dennis with Mama Grizzly Fun Facts. Steph, in the wake of the last week's election, did you see this?
What?
The video Sarah Palin put on her Facebook page featuring all the winning candidates. She endorsed all seven of them.
Oh, God.
At the end of the video was a large Mama Grizzly up on her haunches. So the woman who coined the term Mama Grizzlies, here are a few fun facts about real Mama Grizzlies.
Okay.
Grizzlies are subject to population segregation, which results in inbreeding and the resulting genetic problems.
Mm. Enough said about that.
They're known for recycling their own crap. Mama grizzlies have a particularly foul odor. Grizzlies are ill-tempered and the most aggressive of all bears. They've been known to attack other bears, particularly black and brown bears. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That have ventured into their territory. Mama grizzlies have really big butts and haunches. Really big. Really big. Dennis was just saying. Thank you for those Mama Grizzly fun facts.
Great.
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Well, hey, why not?
That's early.
Look!
We haven't
Bush is back.
In years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, it's great to see George W. Bush again, isn't it? Not.
The computer says nah.
Apparently, he was incredibly frustrated about not finding those WMDs.
Was he now?
Despite the hilarious comedy routine he did about not being able to find them.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Unbelievably frustrating. Of course it was frustrating. Everybody thought he had WMD. Everybody, meaning every intelligence service, everybody in the administration.
A lot of Democrats said
that. Yeah, a lot of members of Congress.
And why is that, Chris? Because that's what you told them.
Right.
With your twisted and cherry-picked intelligence and your pack of lies. That is just, see, and here's the problem. You knew this would happen. He's plugging a book. Does a journalist say, no, sir, that's the intelligence you showed them?
Well, the journalist.
That's why Democrats thought that.
The journalist here was Sean Hannity. And so that's why.
That's puzzling.
He wasn't challenged.
That's puzzling.
On that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Charles Krauthammer on the Brit Bear. On, mm-hmm.
2 years of no comment on his successor. And also, considering how much Obama attacked him gratuitously, including in the inaugural address with Bush a few yards away, and the reticence and the dignity with which Bush took that and not responded, I think it will serve him well. And there's a reason people are disposed to like him much more right now.
No, not really.
Computer says no.
No. Yeah, they try to make a big deal out of that. I correct me if I'm wrong, it was such a long time ago, Chris, but wasn't President Obama elected mostly as a repudiation of the Bush administration policies? And so I don't think he didn't say what an asshat or anything.
No.
I believe he was talking about moving forward, meaning away from the horror of the Bush years.
Disastrous policies.
Yes. And I don't think he said that. We're just paraphrasing now.
Yes.
Okay. Britt Hume on the Brit
Burr.
To restore Pelosi to that position as floor leader means that after an election in which independents swung hard against the Democratic Party, they will put as their leader and their face, their spokesperson, really, someone who has a 29% overall approval rating in the most recent polling on this and a 21% approval rating among independents. Now, is it imaginable that Pelosi will then change her ways and change the image of the House? Well, to hear her tell it, they're proud of what they did, they didn't do anything wrong, and they want to fight to defend it. Doesn't sound like wise political strategy by normal standards.
Mm. Why do I feel from the kind of reaction from Republicans about her that it's actually a good idea?
Yes.
Why would they care if they think that's such a disastrous idea?
She's actually a strong and effective leader for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And they're
scared
of that.
And by the way, approval ratings, nobody has a good approval rating right now. Republicans, Democrats, it's because she's the best known because they've been putting her out there.
Exactly.
But
they've been demonizing her.
Yes. But thanks for the advice, Britt. We appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. We always appreciate advice, political advice from a committed far-right lunatic.
Mm-hmm. That looks like a
Basset Hound.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Glenn Beck on the TV.
Obama needs a similar kind of event. Oh, like Oklahoma City. If only Barack Obama could have the opportunity to speak to America after another Oklahoma City-type event, then he'll politically be in good shape. They are setting up another Oklahoma City. They are claiming that one is coming, and they've already marked the one who caused it.
Uh-huh.
And he pointed at himself.
Yes. Interesting.
Yes.
And I wonder why that might be. I wonder if that might be because there has been a string of right-wing violence that was provably, demonstrably inspired by he and some of his other compatriots on the right.
That guy was with the guns was driving to shoot up the Tides Foundation.
Wow, he's setting up a conspiracy theory in advance.
Yeah.
Even though actual incidents of actual violence have been caused by his actual words.
Yep.
I see. He's setting up in advance that when something happens, because he tends to encourage violent, crazy right-wing rhetoric and actions on his show. I see. So when it happens, I will have set that up.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's saying, if something happens, don't look at me.
Right. Well, isn't that clever? You see how he's done that now? Okay, we can take him off the list of suspects already.
Why does Glenn Beck hate America?
I don't know.
Why does he want something bad to happen to America?
I don't know. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, back with a Scotchmore right-wing world. In the meantime, kids, don't make me say it again. Get Carbonite.com right now. Seriously, I don't know why anyone doesn't do it. It is not when something, it's not if something happens to your computer, it's when.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get a crash, you're going to get a virus, you're going to get it stolen, you're going to have a flood, you're going to have something. Think about all those important files you have saved there, photos, financial records, contact lists. What happens if tomorrow your computer crashes? Those files gone. Poof.
Yeah.
Poof.
I'm trying to update some software over here on my laptop, and it's starting to act a little hinky, and I don't have Carbonite on this computer, and I'm getting a little bit
Well, you know how you
worried.
Live in denial. You're like, oh, things are, oh, it's probably nothing. Yeah. It's probably,
Damn it.
Sign up for Carbonite Online Backup today. Automatically backs up the files on your Mac or PC whenever you're connected to the Internet. Easy. Done. Just as soon as you're connected to the Internet. You don't have to do anything. $55 for the entire year. That's for unlimited backup. And you can remotely access your backed up files from any computer or your iPhone or BlackBerry with a free Carbonite app. Go to Carbonite.com now. Use my offer code Stephanie. You get a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Don't wait till it's too late. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie for your free trial, 2 months free if you subscribe. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back with more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Down, down. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 23 minutes after the hour, we have a political reporter for The Hill to talk about the lame duck coming up in hour number three.
Yes.
Today, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, Barry in New York City. Hi, Bear.
Hi, Mom. How you doing?
Hey, baby.
You know how when you can tell when people are really, really stupid? When they want
they voted for a teabagger?
Oh, that's a softball. when you want to balance the budget and still want to give tax breaks to rich people who don't need them and won't spend the money. And when did trickle-down ever really trickle down? Well, you know, or they may just be nuts because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result.
Barry, isn't it amazing for a party that continually calls the president arrogant? You know, we had Sharon Angles say, I will answer questions when I'm a senator. Well, these Republicans have been asked over and over and over, what would you cut? This is not politics, it's math. What would you do? You know, and they won't answer. Now that they've been elected, it's like, oh, we don't have to answer because we have been elected. You know, we're just going to do
Sharon Angle.
Right. No, I mean, what I'm saying is, but all these Republicans, right, that have gotten in, they still won't answer it. I mean, it's ridiculous. Who is it that said, oh, we'll destroy the National Endowment for the Arts? It's like, oh, okay, well, that's 0.0001% percent of the budget, you know.
Yeah, they don't like art anyway.
Yeah, because it's French and gay. All right. Oh, by the way, one of the other false analogies, Theo writes me about that. Steph, I'm hugely glad we're beginning to recognize the flat-out, utterly false one-for-one equating of how, you know, the false equivalencies. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, and Bill Maher, I think, pointed that out with what Jon Stewart did. As much as we love Jon Stewart. But anyway, Bill Maher made a great point about now that George Bush is out here again. You know, they talk about, oh, there was the same rhetoric on both sides. And he was saying, you know, Bush being a war criminal, he said that's the opinion of the general who ran the, I can't remember his name, the general who ran the, you know, whatever. It's not like that. It's only left-wing lunatics that
no,
think
it's not.
George Bush is, in fact, a war criminal. Whereas he's saying all of them are calling, on the Republican side, candidates and people in power as well are calling the president a socialist.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas he said there is no Democrat candidate on the left that's talking about 9/11 conspiracy theories. You know what I mean? It's like there is not an equivalency there.
Right.
All right. You notice I did that before Jim got in. Okay, let's, because I'm a coward. Mike and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. Say, I've got a plan that the Republicans can help us with our unemployment rate, and that would be all the Republicans and their pundits get off my radio, get off my television, and please go get a job.
Yeah, go get a real job. Trust me, I can tell you from someone that does it, this is not a real job, Mike. Seriously. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, right. A real job you get paid for.
Ha! What?
Huh?
Okay. Rush Limbaugh on the...
Obama benefited from the economy tanking last September. And in the last October, millions of Obama voters voted for that reason. Not because they rejected their own country the way Obama has most of his life.
Oh, for the love of God.
Wow.
Rejected his country. And that's the main way you reject your country is by running for president of the United States.
Yeah.
That's how you know right away you hate America, because you want to be president of it.
Why does Rush Limbaugh go offshore to have his sexual trysts with thousands of pills?
Yes, why does he outsource his perversions?
Exactly.
Why?
He needs to do it here in America. Why does he hate America?
I don't know. Hmm. Well, at least his does. Okay. Angela McLaughlin from the
McLaughlin.
Fox. Exactly, Fox Business
I
Channel.
Think that a lot of folks miss Bush, and some people are not behind Sarah Palin.
No.
I think that people miss Bush, and I think it's going to be a bestseller.
Oh, well, goody, goody, goody. It's same lies all over again. You don't need to buy it. We'll go over what's in the book later. After the break, in fact.
Yeah.
Decision points.
He and Dick Cheney had a little spat about Scooter.
Oh, man spat.
A man spat.
He and John McCain had a man spat.
Oh, that's a big man spat.
Mike in Chicago, he pretty much endorsed our vote for Obama.
Yeah,
yeah, he's erratic and crazy. You guys. Mike in Chicago.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Chris. You know how Bush is saying that everyone thought there were weapons of mass destruction? Does anyone remember Scott Ritter?
Yes,
the
I do.
Inspector who said that there were none and he was fired.
Seem like when your job title is weapons inspector, it would seem like you might be the one that would be in charge of inspecting for weapons, is what that would imply to me.
And I'd also like to thank Morning Joe for spending almost a half hour plugging Bush's book yesterday with Mark McKinnon, Bush's tool. I haven't bought Bush's book, but I'm guessing the printing probably resembles something out of the Little Rascals Fortress, you know, the writing on
it. How many crayon jokes have there been? I'm sure, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Is it
every S is written backwards? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
he should be chewing on sidewalk chalk.
thank you, Mike. I'm guessing he wrote it in a... the purple crayon because it's it's grapey.
Mm. Oh yes.
Mm. We think that he might have eaten purple crayons on Ruggie when things got particularly tense in the White House. We're just saying.
Ruggie was yellow though. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, his rug was yellow.
Oh.
That damn Ruggie never shut up about the optimistic rug.
I love how Obama just came right in and ripped that piece of crap out.
The rug was the only thing that was optimistic
when
Bush was president. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, hell no. That slippery-ass hippie. I gotta stop this.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This half hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. We do it every day here at Stephanie Miller Incorporated. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Alrighty then. So, the former president.
Yeah. George W. Bush.
Like, I wasn't in a surly enough mood with the midterms. Now I got to look at his goofy mug again. He was on the, Matt Lauer.
He was on with Matt Lauer in an hour-long special last night on NBC. Yes, he was.
Is he basically saying, okay, I was drunk the whole time? Because then I would accept. All right. I was drunk for 8 years. I apologize.
Yeah, I'd have a beer. And so the book starts off with Laura saying, can you tell me a day in which you haven't had a drink? And when you drink too much, the answer is, yes, I can. And then I couldn't remember a day. And, you know, I could easily have a beer or two or a martini before dinner, bourbons, B&Bs. I was a drinker. Now, I wasn't a knee-walking drunk.
What's a B&B?
Bourbon and... I don't know. I don't drink hard liquor. B&B? Isn't that bed and breakfast?
Yeah, that's
maybe
what I thought.
Maybe he's drunk as he's giving that interview.
Maybe he's not good B&B people.
I just like B&Bs. I'm in bourbon and coke. B and something.
Bourbon and...
I don't know. He sounded drunk still, didn't he? A little bit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, he and Matt Lauer were...
I wasn't a knee-walking drunk? Is that the only barometer? Do you walk on your knees?
What about a lampshade-wearing drunk? No, in fact, I've heard that he was a mean drunk. That
yes.
He was not a lampshade-wearing drunk. He was a screamer.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he's a mean, sober or dry drunk, whatever it is he was.
In either case, alcohol becomes central to your life, and I finally woke up and realized that I did not want to live a life where alcohol was central. And I'm convinced, I really am convinced, had I not quit drinking, I wouldn't be sitting here as a former president, because I chronicle a few incidents where alcohol made my quick tongue, not only quick, but caused me to be stupid.
Mm. Oh, is he saying, I'm sorry, without the alcohol, he's not stupid?
Yeah.
Is that was his point there?
Yeah. Because
he would be stupid. So all that intellect, that dazzling intellect we saw on display during his presidency, oh, that was brought to you by sobriety. Whereas,
in fact,
I'm sorry, is he saying he wouldn't have been president if there were alcohol? Why have you failed us now? Oh,
alcohol's never failed
damn
me
you.
Before.
Damn you, alcohol. Falling down on the job now. You could have prevented... This is such a disaster. We would have our economy back and a lot of American lives. Damn you, alcohol. You're right. This is the first time alcohol has ever failed me.
Yes.
You know I have the drinking problem. I have the drinking solution.
This is
didn't
historic.
Work with him. Ugh.
In fact, he went on to detail.
I hate you, alcohol.
He went on to detail one time when he was drunk and he was sitting at dinner with his parents and his parents' friends.
Yes.
And he asked his mom's friend, so what's it like to have sex after 50? And then, you know,
he was sober when he was chewing on the roll, talking to Tony Blair, and
so he's
giving Angela Merkel a back rub, and
so he sobered up, and on his 50th birthday, he got a letter from that woman saying, "So, how is it?" Which I thought was kind of funny.
Was he a big mouth drunk?
Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah, you can tell he's still in love with the alcohol. Where's he listing the drinks again?
Oh, that's
I don't remember. Here we go.
Yeah, I'd have a beer, and so the book starts off with Laura saying, "Can you tell me a day when you haven't had a drink?" And when you drink too much, the answer is yes, I can.
No, that one. It's the second one.
And then I couldn't remember a day.
Yeah.
And you know, I could easily have a beer or two or a martini before dinner.
No.
Bourbons, B&Bs.
B&B.
I was a drinker. Now I wasn't a knee-walking drunk.
What's a B&B?
I don't know. Boy, that was like, you almost needed to hear love music in the middle of that. Boy, he was, that was like fond memories. Ah, oh, good times. Beer, martini.
Just see him licking the empty glass.
B&B. What the hell is a B&B? What is that, bourbon and bitters?
Oh, God. Blah.
What's a B&B?
I have no idea.
It's a bed and breakfast, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it another Bush misspeak? What's a B&B?
I've heard of a 7-7.
Miranda is typing in, it's a Benedictine and brandy? A Benedictine monk? What do you mean?
Miranda, get in here!
A Benedictine? What's a Benedictine?
I have no idea.
A friar?
A drunk
a
monk. It's a drunk monk.
All right. B Did I say that right? Benedictine.
All right, get on What's that mic.
Thank you, Miranda.
I have no idea. We got about 1,000 phone calls, and everyone said, I just want to tell you, it's a Benedictine and brandy.
Okay, well, now we need 1,000 other phone calls. Okay. What the hell is a Benedictine?
I doubt there are any bartenders up this early, but if there are, call in.
A legitimate... recipe, and you can tell us exactly what it is and call it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Because whenever we would mention Donald Rumsfeld, all these old man drinks would come up that you've never heard of before.
With bitters.
With bitter. Every old man drink has bitters in it.
What is a bitter?
I don't know. I don't drink hard liquor either. It's a...
sounds like capers.
Someone get Rachel Maddow on the phone. She's a mixologist.
Yeah. All right. You have a full board of calls now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you, Miranda.
Thank you, Miranda.
Appreciate that. She's like, I wasn't told this is what this fill-in job would be about. You didn't go to bartending school for this?
That was one of the requirements.
Yeah, a lot of the old man drink, what are they, the rusty nails and the whatever?
Yeah.
They have the Harvey Wallbangers, they have the bitters in them.
Well, Harvey Wallbanger doesn't have bitters, but it has Galliano, which I don't even think you could get anymore.
Sure. And I think we determined that only my old New York landlady drank rye. Particularly at like 9 in the morning.
That to me seems like something that you make in a still in a bathtub. That's not something.
I think she might have.
It's not something you buy at the store.
Yeah. Or you even get rye.
I have no
idea. Benedictine and brandy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he meant bed and breakfast. I think he's still drunk.
Yeah. He's not good bed and breakfast people.
No.
No.
Oh, God.
No.
How'd you like to wake up next to him before coffee?
Ugh.
Don in Rockford, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. How you doing?
Don, good.
Hey, been listening to you for quite a while now, and I really love your show.
Thank you.
I just love progressive talk radio. That's what it is. And I just want to start off by saying I'm a loyal Democrat. Always have been a Democrat. Always will be a Democrat.
It sounds fishy to me.
I will always vote Democratic.
All right.
However, I am disappointed with Obama. I'm still in his corner. I'm disappointed. I think if he goes for re-election, I'll hold my nose and go vote again.
Well, we're kind of a little far away. Don't you want to wait and see what happens in the next couple of years?
Well,
I mean, obviously, Clinton and Reagan were both in this same press conference.
I can see him every day folding more and more, going their way. Now he's entertaining. Yes.
Well, let me ask you something, Don.
That's for the billionaires.
Don, but wait a minute. Let me ask you something, because you guys said this, or Jim said this yesterday, like, oh, he's being too conciliatory. I mean, honestly, don't you think to some degree he has to do that? Do you think the American people want
to
see a president go, oh, screw you?
He just didn't have to do it from day one and on every single issue. You know, and my major question is this, and I have not heard this come across TV or radio yet. The point is Hillary would have never taken this crap from the Republican.
Oh, we don't know
that. This man's taken.
Don, I think Hillary is doing a great job as Secretary of State.
I do, too.
I said this many times, by the way, as much as I was in Obama's corner from day one, she was much better than her campaign. A lot of her campaign I thought was awful, and I blame people like Mark Penn for that. But, you know, my point is, I think this revisionist stuff, like, oh, Hillary would have done this or that. I mean, look, the right wing hated Hillary as much or more than they hated Obama. Trust me, they would have been just as obstructive.
She would have got on the bully pulpit and she would have fought back.
Yeah, honey, but they would have been, do you remember the Clinton years? They would have been obstructionist asshats with her too, then I don't know. Anyway, but I appreciate it, Don. I have no time. We've got to move forward. I can't go, well, what if this would have happened?
Yeah.
What if Hillary had been president on a train going 20 miles per hour towards Chicago in the midterms toward the election for Obama's old seat? Then I don't know.
There's no point in arguing that because she has said that she is not going to run for president.
Yeah, she was pretty unequivocal about that. Well, I keep hoping they do the switcheroo. The Joe Biden and the, you know, Hillary for, what do you call it, vice president and secretary of state. Because I'm told that Joe Biden has always wanted to be secretary of state.
I think Hillary is doing a spectacular job as Secretary of State, and she is doing way more than she'd be doing if she were Vice President. So I think she likes what she's doing.
See, by the way, Don, I'm sorry, it was parroting a right-wing talking point we played yesterday in Right Wing World. That, oh, even the right wing's trying to put that out there. Oh, Hillary really wears the pants. She's the one really, you know, just, it's any way to try to minimize the president and feminize him. And, oh, remember that whole, oh, you know, she's the one with the balls, blah, blah, blah. It's please.
Yeah.
Are we done with the man up? Can we have that back now, that phrase, now that Sharon Engel won't be needing it anymore? Man up, boner!
Did you see on your Facebook page you got some complaints about using that on Friday on the Ed Show?
Using what?
The phrase man up. You used it, and you got some complaints. Apparently they did.
It's a joke.
I know. Apparently they never saw Sharon Engel say it, and you were doing it in parody.
He doesn't need to man up, that crying, blubbering idiot. sakes.
Yes, he needs to stop being such a...
because he's blubbering about himself.
I've had to have jobs and stuff. Look at me now. It's like,
what? People would give their eye tooth for a job, and you're crying about yourself?
Look at what I've made of myself. Look at me, 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 me.
I think I used the phrase blubbering pansy.
Well, see, now you should have gotten a little more Facebook.
But I didn't.
Then I did. Hello, Chris in Chicago on B&B.
Well, that asshat George. Ugh. Anyway, the point is, if he's being an effete Eastern snob, it is Benedictine and brandy, which is a liqueur in brandy, which is very strong and sweet. But if it's the Texas part of him, which God knows he doesn't really emulate, it's bourbon and branch, which is bourbon with water, regular water. But because it comes from a river branch, they call it bourbon and branch.
It comes from a river branch?
Well, the branch of a river.
The branch of a river.
So it's like Texas slang for water.
That's why they gave it a cute name, bourbon and branch. And I believe that's what he's referring to.
That's probably what he means.
I'm thinking.
So all you Benedictine people are wrong!
Well, it's possible they're right, too, but you never know.
Although, you're right, he is more of an effete liberal slob that was snob that went to prep school. Yeah,
you never know.
Slob.
Yeah. Well, he's not a Texas rancher or whatever.
No.
Whatever.
Hell, he played for 8 years.
He lives in a...
Did you notice how quick they got rid of that stupid ranch?
Yeah.
He's never at the stupid ranch.
No, he lives in a gated suburb in Dallas.
Now, that's a feat.
Yes.
You know what? And I bet you he drinks his little Benedictine and brandy with a little pinky up in the air.
I think it's more bourbon and branch.
Prep school. All right.
Putty
tat.
Yeah.
Okay, 40.
Something tells me he doesn't drink the sweet drinks, and apparently Benedictine is really, really sweet.
I don't know. All right. 45 minutes after the hour. He doesn't even have as much of a twang anymore, does he? That was like a character he played. Look at me. I'm Mark Reagan. 46 minutes after the hour.
You're worked up now, aren't you?
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
I get it because of the Bush drinking.
Yes,
I get it.
You see,
okay.
Because...
Just shut up and refill my B&B. 51 minutes after the hour.
What kind of B&B are you talking about?
Who do you have to get a B&B around here?
Now, someone wrote to me and said it could be a beer and bourbon like Hillary was drinking on the trail.
Oh, okay. 51 minutes after the hour. Why doesn't Matt Lauer do any journalism? Why doesn't he do follow-up questions?
What is a B&B?
Nothing about being a war criminal. Nothing about what the hell's a B&B. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to David in Seattle. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hey, I think it's incredible, unbelievable that the mainstream, the network, the cable TV channels, were hiding Bush up until after the elections. And now everybody's falling over each other trying to get a freaking interview with him.
People even more clearly, David, would have gone, oh, yeah, that's how we got here. Right?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, wow, I forgot what a dope he is. Exactly.
God, I can't believe it.
All right. Thank you, David. Yeah, that is convenient, isn't it? Bringing Bush out right after the,
the
election. He takes a dead aim at McCain's presidential campaign, which he implies was run very badly. Among other things, he questions why McCain didn't better capitalize politically on the financial crisis in 2008.
Well,
he caused with his same policies that McCain supported?
Well, that's
a winning strategy.
McCain tried to by making that disastrous decision to suspend his campaign.
Yes. This was sort of like a retroactive endorsement of Barack Obama, it seems.
Yeah.
In this book. Bush writes he was puzzled. Well, he was puzzled by dryer lint, but still, he was puzzled.
He was puzzled by pretzels. We know that much.
That pretzels were particularly puzzling for him.
Pretzels were his Achilles heel.
Getting his fly up every morning. He was puzzled by McCain's handling of the crisis, which included suspending his campaign and calling for a White House meeting on a proposed rescue package. He said, I thought the financial crisis gave John his best chance to mount a comeback. In periods of crisis, voters value experience and judgment over youth and charisma. By handling the challenge in a statesmanlike way, John could make a case that he was the better candidate for the Times. Bush says he asked McCain to hold off on a meeting, citing concerns that might jeopardize talks between congressional negotiators and then Treasury Secretary Mr. Paulson, the Christmas poo. But Bush says McCain ignored his appeals and thereby handed Obama an opportunity to describe him as erratic. And why? Because he was erratic.
Yes.
So that's why it gave him an opportunity to describe him like that. Yeah, he came off as like some sort of erratic hothead.
Who knew?
At the subsequent meeting, Bush says Obama's calm demeanor and willingness to work through the gridlock impressed Bush and his aides. But when it came time for McCain to talk, the Arizona senator had nothing to say. He calls the meeting. So I remember this now. I mean, it just is hilarious.
Yeah.
He calls the meeting, suspends his campaign because he's the only one that's solved, and then he sat there like a stump. I was puzzled, Bush said. He had called for this meeting. I assumed he'd come prepared to outline a way to get the bill passed. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, so it's just it's a kind of a hilarious story. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Let me just see if I missed anything. Oh, yeah, he basically implies that that Obama was much more presidential than McCain was. Oh, blah, 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 blah. He describes Obama's calm demeanor. When Bush turned to McCain, the senator had nothing to say. Toward the end of the meeting, McCain finally spoke. Bush complains that he spoke only in general terms about how hard it would be for Republicans to back the TARP bill. What had started as a drama quickly descended into a farce. This account corroborates what Paulson already wrote in his book, On the Brink. McCain's comments, he said, were anticlimactic, to say the least. His return to Washington was impulsive and risky, and I don't think he had a plan in mind. Okay, so just those of you thinking, oh, yeah, the president's, I'm disappointed, McCain would have been much better. Let's go to Mark in Minneapolis on Bush's book as well. Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hi. Hi. My idea for a Bush B&B would be a bourbon and botulism.
All right.
You know, when he said, you know, I'm not going to, you know, certainly read that book, but, I mean, he's the president that said the Constitution is a GD piece of paper and that the hardest part of his job was to connect the Iraq war to the war on terror.
Yep.
And that we're not going to have any casualties. And I need to keep repeating things over and over to catapult the propaganda.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, you know, putrid. And then General Hugh Shelton, who is a former Joint Chief of Staff, wrote a book, and he talked about Bush and the series of lies that got us into the Iraq War, and none of that got any attention.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, how stupid does he think we are? How long ago does he think this is? The part where he said, you know, there were dissenters to the Iraq War. I was one of them. What? We're like, oh, yes, I remember you outside the ranch with Cindy Sheehan. What? What?
Well, until we go after and hold these people in power accountable, whether it's the president, Bush, whether it's the banksters, whether it's, you know, the ratings agencies, any of this, whether it's BP, whether it's the Macy Oil Company or Coal Company, or Toyota.
But how terrifying is it that we've just elected people that are way to the right of George Bush that think he's a socialist for this bank bailout, which clearly to me was one of the only good decisions he made that was necessary, right?
Well, tragically, I think this was an indictment on what people expected. Democrats are intellectuals. They're not going to jump, you know, lockstep with Fox News and vote for goofballs. And, you know, so this was as much as the Democrats losing this election. The Republicans didn't win anything because, you know, President Obama and his situation and his lack of intensity to correct these problems and hold people accountable are what cost us the election.
Yeah. This is one of these right-wing, AstroTurf groups by the Koch brothers. They just said on their website essentially declaring the American people voted for tax cuts for the rich. That's really what this was all about. What? No, it wasn't.
I would have liked to see President Obama take positions against Citizens United and do whatever it takes and pass that legislation. And worry about this. Elizabeth Warren will never get elected to that Consumer Protection Council now. And we need to, you know, to do everything we can to expedite her position in assuming that role. Because if the bad guys don't want her there, we need her there.
Yeah. No, well, exactly. Their reaction tells you everything you need to know, you know. Same as them not wanting Nancy Pelosi to stay in. It's like because they know how effective that she's been, right?
Right. And, you know, so I hope that we grow a pair, and when the president comes back, you know, he conciliatory nothing. We need to start fighting. We need to stand up, and we want the President Obama that campaigned, yep, not the President Obama of the past 2 years.
Yep. All right, honey. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere to join the party. Michael O'Brien, political reporter for The Hill, calls in next hour to talk about the lame duck session and the upcoming Congress in January.
I wonder if they're going to be able to get anything done during the lame duck session.
And the upcoming Congress. 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoie, voice deity, Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, you sent me a hate letter that they sent to you?
That's right.
Yeah, because this is probably you. They don't mean me.
What? Hey.
Jay writes to you, which you passed along to me.
Of course.
Subject line, juvenile.
I'm the adult around here.
Jay in San Rafael has some thoughts
Rafael.
For you.
San Rafael.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Your show is unlistenable. Well, clearly he has listened, or he wouldn't be able to write this letter.
Right.
So that, right away, is kind of a lie.
Way to get off on the right foot there, Jay.
He should at least add, but clearly I listen anyway. If it were, I mean, technically, if it were unlistenable, he would not have any further comments. Then it would just be blank.
We can arrange that.
Okay. Steph has a great voice. So there.
Computer says, yeah.
But you're, that me, you, meaning you, you're in the worst taste and the lowest level on talk radio. Please, which is in capitals, grow up. You guys come off like clowns, offensive.
You guys. Now he's including you.
No, he means you. Guys.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You guys come off like clowns, offensive. What adult wants to listen to this kind of rubbish? Goofy laughter and wacky sound effects? Grow up!
We're facts with slide whistle.
I don't know what he's talking about. All right. Oh, look, it's Beaver Stack. Hey, pay attention. Listen up, Mr. Ruffball.
Jay in San Rafael.
Exactly.
Okay.
David in Lake Station, Indiana, is sent to say Beaver Stack.
Oh.
Julie kind of fallen down on the job lately. I don't know where the Beaver Stack is. This is the Beaver Street Fisheries Incorporated of Jacksonville, Florida, is recalling 5 to 7 pound tuna loins.
I didn't know that tunas had loins.
Beavers. So attention, anyone that has gotten tuna recently from the Beaver Street Fishery of Jacksonville,
tuna
Florida.
Tuna loins.
They're recalling the select tuna.
Nice
loins. 5 to 7 pound tuna loins. The tuna was distributed in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. Was that where a lot of the female Republican candidates were from? I don't remember which ones lost the teabagger candidates. All right, thank you for that. So that was really more of a public health warning there.
Nice beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
And that's juvenile.
Tony in I just wanted to demonstrate for him, should he still be listening, to find out how much more unlistenable it can get.
Right.
There you go. Exhibit A. Tony in Los Angeles.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Tony.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I
I was just calling because I'm getting so tired of hearing all these people losing hope in Obama and this and that. First of all, he said keep him accountable. I am so tired of so-called progressives acting like little five-year-olds that if they don't get what they want right when they want it, they stomp off and walk away. And to me, it's kind of racist in a sense of, it's not to say that you can't disagree with the man. I'm not saying that. It's kind of like basketball. He's got to be Michael Jordan. He can't be Larry Bird.
Yep.
You know
yep.
what I'm saying? Yep. Like, you know, if he ain't, you know, dribbling backwards, dunking, doing whatever, he's not being Barack. But, you know, look at Larry Bird. All he did was three-pointers, and, you know, he was pretty
sure.
cool.
Sure.
But in the terms of the standard for a black man,
sure.
Larry Bird doesn't even count. You know
you lost
I mean?
Me somewhere so, there. Something, nothing, but that was nothing but net, that analogy, and I appreciate
there
it.
There you go.
Now,
he
needs
Tony,
to show, what you're saying is that he needs to showboat a little more.
Saying
no?
that. I'm just saying the perception of him as a black man, first of all, he's being disrespected more than anybody. And let's face
Tony,
it, it's because he's a black man.
I agree. And, you know, Bill Maher made this point this week, and he wasn't even necessarily talking about race. But, you know, I don't think that's going very far to say I have never seen a president disrespected like this. Have you ever seen someone yell, "You lie," at a president of the
exactly.
United States during a and Bill Maher was talking about even the tone of that press conference. You know, he said, if I were Obama, I'd be like, piss off, you little jerk. You're
right.
I'm the president,
see,
and you're a glorified blogger.
Right. But as a black person, we deal with that every day in the sense that, you know, if he did come out, then, of course, you know, the Republicans are going to blow it. Oh, he's an angry black man. Oh, God, we have a gangbanger
right.
in the White House. You know, that's what they would say. But my point it being is, as progressives, why don't we, I mean, when you bring it down to a street level, we have a saying, you got to bring some to get some. And basically, what are they doing to cover his back? Look at Bush, for God's sake. Like you said, now he's on the tour and he's, you know, he's a happy, clappy little past president. But, you know, he's a war criminal. And like
right.
the guy
exactly.
said,
no,
everybody
Tony,
wants to interview him.
Tony, and you're right. They give him more respect, this, you know, former president who belongs
exactly.
at The Hague, than they do the current one. You're right. Good.
Than the current president.
Good call, Tony. Nothing
That's
but net.
Right.
Nothing but
Thank
net.
Thank you.
All right, 3 points. All right, midcourt. Listen, I don't know. I was a Washington General there for a little bit of the basketball analogy. I was like, what are you? Huh? Oh, I see what you mean. All right.
She
good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning. Sorry, I was having a Benedictine and bitters.
Oh, oh. Good.
No one delineated to me what a bad idea that was.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay. He's gotten the opening punctuation joke has been thrown out, ladies and gentlemen. Now
Were you in San Rafael?
San Rafael, yes, when I was having a Benedictine.
I won a trip that was raffled off to San Rafael once. All right. Jim just coughed over
sorry.
That, though.
That's
okay. Jim, you're delightful this morning. You're late, you're drunk, and you're coughing over all of my punch. What?
Oh, cough. Mine's. That's what that's for. The button. Cough. That's
it doesn't make you okay. cough.
No, that's
right.
the pneumonia. Yeah.
All right. Have you gotten a chance to see the former president on TV, isn't
yeah.
it? Great.
He
questions why McCain didn't allow him to campaign for him. He said, I was confident I could have helped him make his case.
Mm.
Yes, because as we recall, George Bush was so wildly popular and also a Iraq War
right.
dissenter.
And who presided over the collapse of the economy.
Yes.
Largely because John McCain's putative economic advisor, Phil Graham, was one of the people who led to the repeal of Glass-Steagall, allowing the whole thing to happen.
By the way, another McCain decision that irks Bush, the choice of Sarah Palin. This doesn't make any... Boy, when George Bush thinks you're a dope, you are a dope.
Oh, boy.
So you don't have the intellectual fortitudinousness.
The gravitassy.
The gravy ass. What you got that? See what I did there? I blame the Benedictine.
This doesn't make it into the Bush book, but the New York Daily News writes that the former president... Karl Rove has told friends, he doesn't think Palin is qualified to be president and blames McCain for giving her a national platform. Naming Palin makes Bush think less of McCain as a man, said a Republican familiar with Bush's thinking. The former president has also made amends with Dick Cheney, who he considered replacing on the 2004 ticket. As Bush writes in the book, he and Cheney were at odds over the this scooter.
Listen, Junior.
I bet you Cheney never knocked. I bet you that's how he just knew he was outside his door, because he just heard that. Oh, Jesus.
Look.
Cheney's here again.
I'm the boss. Let's get this straight.
Either he heard the music or he just...
No, it was more like... You are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. Take it away.
Let the soldier on the battlefield.
Libby, of course, convicted of... Oh, by the way, I can't wait to see Fair Game. The film, the Valerie Flame film with Sean Penn and... Naomi Watts, no offense, she's cute and all, but it's the first time ever that the actual person is hotter than the actress that plays her.
That's unusual.
No offense, I saw the picture. I'm like, Valerie Flame's way hotter.
Watts is hot.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, but she's not Valerie Plame hot. I'm just saying it's weird, because normally the actress is much better looking than the actual person.
All right.
Just and saying. I think that was a little catty moment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think Joe Wilson has
better
hair,
Collins?
Too.
Look, I'm Joan Collins suddenly. What's with these actresses today? They have no glamour.
Oh, my God.
I'm sliding
into old Hollywood
I'm
land.
I'm so Norman Desmond. Yeah.
If you don't spend 5 hours in makeup, then you're doing it wrong.
I am big. It's the picture that got small.
Yes. Yeah, Cheney did say the thing about, I can't believe you're going to leave a soldier on the battlefield. Mm-hmm. Asked by Lauer if their relationship ever recovered, Bush admits he was concerned at first, but they're friends today. Oh, thank God. Oh, good.
I just don't go on hunting trips with him.
Yeah, men in the oil business tend to not stay mad at each other for very long.
As long as the money keeps flowing.
Exactly.
We were saying, Jim, that he apparently was puzzled by John McCain's reaction to the financial crisis, but Bush is pretty much puzzled by everything. Pretzels.
Whoa.
Zippers.
What is that? How does that work? How do you work a book, anyway? I don't know.
How you open pudding
cups?
Where
do you plug it in?
Yeah, once pudding cups got rid of the plastic ring and just went to the foil.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't get into this thing.
He sort of always had that look like when you blow in a dog's face. That's the way he always kind of looked.
You learn not to do that to a cat, by the way.
I bet you learned the hard way.
You learn the hard way not to blow into a cat's face. Yeah. Dogs just sit there with a dopey look on their face. Cats.
I don't know cats. Yeah, I was near a friend. I brought my dogs to visit a friend the other day, and I don't know cats. And I'm like, what is that sound your cat's making? And she's like, get away from her now. She was like, I was like, what is that? It's not really
a... Oh, no, you didn't.
That's what you're saying.
No, but it wasn't a hiss or a meow. It was like a... Apparently, that's when a cat's about to blow.
Well, blow chunks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, get away, Ron. Run for your life. She's really mad.
She probably smelled dog on you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what the cute noises that the cat's making. Yeah. Former president. Oh, I see what that means. All right. Former President Bush also says the Tea Party movement is a sign that democracy works in America.
That's right.
Probably because he can't believe that bigger dopes than he could ever actually be elected in the United States of America. And this proves that you can. You actually can.
Christine O'Connell won that job. She ain't got no book learned. She read my book. It's got a lot of pictures in it.
Yeah, by the way, the funny thing, Bush not a popular figure among a lot of Tea Party supporters. He'd be teabagged out of the Republican Party.
He would.
Because he's a big socialist, big bank bailout guy.
Yep.
Type thing. Ugh. That's a, wow, that's not
that's
happy news for America.
The Republican win isn't unalloyed joy for them because the teabaggers are going to attack them from all sides.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, we'll tell you what Rand Paul and the triple on his head had to say.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. The triple talked?
Ah. The trouble with tribbles.
19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Jim's being persnickety about Facebook again.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't like the pressure of being reminded when people's birthdays are, then he feels obligated.
Everyone you know has a birthday today. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. What but you use it as an opportunity to be lazy and just post on the wall. Oh, happy birthday.
Whatever.
Okay, here.
That's what people expect now.
Two keystrokes, that's all I have to do.
No, you don't want
to... Remember when you had to go look for a card? Oi.
Well, it's good. I mean, you know, I would never send a card to every single one of my friends, but, you know, just let them know and think of them. That's kind of nice.
I think only grandmas still send cards. And then you just see if you do it upside down to see if there's money and throw it out anyway.
And if there's, yeah.
Because there's usually sparkles on it from old people. There's little sparkly things and, like,
and gets all over your
cartoon
sweater.
Mice and things. And, like, yeah. Oh, hope your day is whatever.
Gee, Grandma, I'm in my 50s.
So gee, Grandma, thanks for the $4.
Go buy yourself some penny candy.
1-800-STEP. 1-800-STEP-12.
My grandma would be 140 now.
Jennifer in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hi, Jen.
Hi, good morning, guys. So I can sum up the midterm elections with one cartoon I saw earlier this week. It had a picture of Bush on it, and it said, "I screwed you all. Thanks for blaming the black guy."
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
That's great.
Boy. Yes, the current president talking about the Bush tax cuts, by the by.
What I don't think makes sense is for us to borrow $700 billion to pay for that. And we don't have the money. I mean, everybody's already talking about our debt and our deficit. Why would we want to add to it? Now, having said all that,
the Republicans want everybody
to get it. I understand the Republicans have a different view. And so we are going to have a negotiation. And I am open to... you know, finding a way in which, you know, they can meet their principles, and I can meet mine.
By the by, on ABC's This Week, they asked right-wing tool Mike Pence whether he considers it fair that richest Americans should get an extra tax cut. He said, what's not fair is that you would actually allow a tax increase on job creators. Oh, there we go again.
They're not job creators. Mm-hmm. The Bush administration is losing 700,000 a month?
Yeah.
Well, all they were getting, all their huge tax breaks.
How'd that taxi-cutty thing go for you?
Yeah.
Former Reagan budget director David Stockman, who, by the way, ushered in one of the most sweeping tax cuts in history, rejected Pence's argument 2 years after the crisis on Wall Street. It has been announced that bonuses this year will be $144 billion. He said the highest in history. God. That's who's going to get this tax cut on the top, you know, 2% of the population. They don't need a tax cut. They don't deserve it. And therefore, what we have to do is focus on Main Street. That's Reagan's budget director.
Let's reward them for destroying the global economy.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Andrew in Tucson. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andrew.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Hey, I disagree with that one female caller who called in and used the basketball analogy.
Yes.
I would say that Obama's more of a coach, not a player. He needs to lead. He needs to put his foot up somebody's butt when they're not doing their job. I just think he's been too much of a... And I voted for him. I voted again in the past election here. But there has been no. He's trying to be too much of a peacemaker when he's at a table with barbarians.
Well, you know what? I'm more interested though to see what he does. Aren't you? I mean, Jim, you said this yesterday, but I mean, do you really think like he can't? You can't really be president, and give a press conference, and go screw you,
no.
Screw
no,
you, Republicans.
No,
I mean, of course,
but,
he's going to have to say things that sound like, you know, of course we're going to work together.
Here's what I would say: he stands up for his principles and says, "Over my veto button, will you get your $200,000 tax cut? It's not going to happen. There's a point when you have to be a leader. You have to be strong. Bush has already showed that you can do anything as a president. Why doesn't Barack Obama? And where are the Democrats and the others standing up saying, here's what was done, here's what we did, and every time one of those asswipes stand up and tell a lie, a Democrat should be right there next to him saying, no, here's the facts. Here's what's going on. You're a flat-out liar.
Yep. Well, no, we do have to fight smarter now.
The sports analogy, he wants to be a team player with the opposing team.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The girl has been described as a likely women's studies major and probable roller derby captain, while the male is your classic run-of-the-mill stoner.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rick in Tacoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the filibuster. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Mooks.
Hello.
I was giving some thought to the filibuster, and I don't want to see it go away because it could keep someone from David Duke being nominated if a Republican went into the House, White House. But we could do maybe a little borrowing from the NFL and give a finite number of filibusters, like timeouts or challenges to calls. Say, for example, every senator gets, just arbitrarily, say, 2 filibusters per 6-year term.
Mm-hmm.
And
see, I think that's
judiciously.
But I think that's the other thing that people don't realize is how, you know, because a lot of people, like Chris, you always say, don't marinate in this stuff.
Right.
They don't realize that it's not the filibuster, it's how they've abused it, mm-hmm. the
yes,
Republicans.
This
they don't really play by the rules.
Yeah, and if they had a finite number, then you would immediately, say, nominate, like, Alan Grayson to the next judicial opening, and they would go through their filibusters like a sailor in port. And then you could get some real legislation through.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, gee, Jim, you're very phlegmy this morning. You all right?
Sorry. Sinus.
Oh, wow. Pardon me.
Ears are on fire, apparently.
By the by.
Some transmitter in your head.
Sorry. The Tea Party fun is starting already. Senator-elect Rand Paul already has broken a Tea Party pledge and now vows to fight for earmarks. Oh, dear.
Really?
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh. Isn't that like one of the basic...
Wow.
Planks in the Tea Party platform?
He hasn't even taken office yet. He's already screwed himself.
He's already getting all established. First of all, Scott Brown is the number one Tea Party target in the next election cycle.
But wasn't he elected on the Tea Party platform?
Yes, he's the Tea Party darling. Oh, dear. He's already gotten all beltway-y. He's already gotten all establishment-y.
They're already making effigies of his toupee, I think. People have been stomping on his toupee on the curb.
A Tea Party hero, Senator-elect Rand Paul, jumped on the anti-earmark bandwagon early, making a ban on wasteful earmark spending in Washington, D.C., one of the key points of his campaign in March. He vowed to dismantle the culture of professional politicians, even if he ruffled a lot of establishment feathers while doing it. But after joining the GOP flock on Election Day, Paul singing a different tune in a Wall Street Journal profile this weekend, he signaled an about-face on his earmark position, committing to, quote, fight for Kentucky share of earmarks and federal pork. So they asked him, so you're not that crazy a libertarian? He said, not that crazy.
So now he's going to be tarred and feathered.
But
wouldn't that be ironic?
But he was that crazy libertarian.
Yes. It's on tape.
In fact, he was so crazy.
He's just a naive country bumpkin with no idea how the inner workings of Washington
right.
go. I guess he got the cliff notes, though, and figured it out.
He was so crazy libertarian that he didn't think he needed to join the Kentucky Board of Ophthalmology.
No, you don't. How hard can it be to cut an eyeball?
Wow.
That's why he got two.
And now he's all for earmarks.
Exactly. That's why God gave you two eyeballs.
So he can experiment on the other one without a license. By the way, listener Teresa sent us something about the Tea Party movement, successor to the American Liberty League. Like the Tea Party, the Liberty League also claimed to be nonpartisan, but it was largely financed by some of the most powerful businesses in the country, including Standard Oil. They spent enormous sums of money trying to unseat FDR in the 36th presidential election, but thanks to the president's exposure of the league's ties to American wealthy corporate elite, their plans backfired and Republicans suffered one of the worst electoral defeats in American history. So
Obama should get
on that.
This could be good fun, this watching this Tea Party stuff,
mm-hmm.
the Tea Party infighting in Republican circles. This could be like when I got that, you remember I told you the story about buying an aquarium in college? It's the only time I had and I got one of those beta fighting fish that apparently you're not supposed to.
Oh, no, you're not. You're supposed to keep them in like a glass.
Must have been a new employee in the fish store because I was like, huh, where are all the other fish?
It ate Nemo.
Literally,
great.
And literally there was a fin coming out of the fish's mouth.
It ate Nemo.
Yes.
Are you happy?
Mm-hmm. I was like, the little chest is opening and closing nicely. Little scuba man looks, hey, where's all the other fish?
Fish.
Mm-hmm. Like,
hey,
Rand Paul just gets in there. Wait a minute, where did Scott Brown go?
The turnaround of Rand Paul is just absolutely stunning to me.
Yes.
That was fast.
Yeah, he's just given up a core principle.
One of the, like, Jim DeMint's just going to have a little part of his little triple toupee sticking out of the one corner of his mouth. Where's the new senator from Kentucky?
I don't know.
It's hard for a...
What are you talking about?
It's hard for a fish to digest hair.
Okay. Meanwhile, Representative Spencer Baucus, Republican of Alabama...
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to be the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. He laid the blame for the Republicans' Senate law squarely on the feet of Mama Grizzly Sarah Palin and the Tea Party movement. He said the Senate would be Republican today, except for states in which Palin endorsed candidates like Christine O'Donnell in Delaware. Sarah Palin cost us control of the Senate. Oh, let the fighting begin! Oops. kids, don't fight. You're all crazy. Let's go to Andy in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, first of all, I would say people who say that Hillary would have stood up when Barack didn't are crazy.
Yes, because they would have been so nice to the Hillary, because they were always so nice to the Clintons, as you know.
And Hillary's all about the political calculation. That's why I didn't vote for her. So having said that, you know, to criticize progressives for not being happy with Obama, I don't think is fair, because, you know, you can say he's better than the alternative. They don't argue with that. But, you know, he hasn't really been very progressive, and so I can understand them not being enthusiastic.
Well, you know, this is something I think we have to sort of take control of in these next 2 years, because this is the thing we keep saying. It's like, how does someone get cast as a socialist? Like Bill Maher says, they all call him a socialist. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so how do you get a progressive base that's that unhappy if you in fact have elected a socialist? I mean, it's
Bernie Sanders would be the last person to call President Obama a socialist. I'll tell you that right now.
William in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Thank you. First, let me disagree with the woman who called from L.A. Larry Bird was great. He was a tough guy and the top 10 player of all time. If Obama was like Larry, there'd be a lot of Republicans with busted lips. now on to politics. The progressive pundits, to me, are as much to blame as Fox. Let's play the game and stop trying to rise above it with these principled opinions. Criticizing Obama did not help. You got the old, bitter people. They always vote. But many of those younger Democrats stayed at home because all they were hearing was negative talk.
Well, you know, I've often wondered, William, I do wonder, as the president kept saying, you know, this is the hard work of grinding out change. I often wonder, a lot of the people that did vote for hope and whatever, like, what did you think this was going to be like? Did you think this was going to be easy against people like this and the other party?
But I mean,
it is hard, this work of grinding out change.
Well, that's true, but he didn't get cut any slack by his supposed side.
I mean,
we all know the other side never criticizes. I mean, Bush went through just all sorts of troubles, but he only got trumpeted from his side. Our side, for some reason, likes to be principled and honored, and we're going to criticize you regardless. Well, that's fine when the stakes aren't that high.
Yeah, you know what?
It's not.
Right, and you know, William, the latest time I noticed it is, where the hell is this quote-unquote liberal media? You know, I saw somebody yesterday, I don't know who it was, like mocking the president's dancing. And meanwhile, you look at the faces on the people over there, they're thrilled to meet him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Right.
And I mean, it's just, like I say, where is this just respect, this basic respect for the office of the presidency gone
in
this country?
Let me ask you, since you have access to, like, Ed, Norm, and Chris sitting next to you, can you tell these guys to quit bitching and play the game?
Yeah, quit bitching, play the game.
What?
Hey! Right, thank you, William. He means I have access to you, and that I can hurl something at you.
Fire me.
Part of the problem is that I think the Obama ground game was missing. That was there in 2008 because they weren't approaching the midterm elections like they did the presidential election, and I think they needed to mobilize the youth vote that voted for them in 2008. For this midterm election, and I think they may have just taken them for granted a bit.
Yeah, but part of it's history, Jim. I mean, the turnout's always way lower in the midterms, mm-hmm. and the party in power always loses seats. So, you know, and I give you, this was the scale of this was not good. But, you know, as we said, I mean, to me, it's much more devastating to lose the House and the Senate.
Right.
I mean, how Clinton never got anything done and had such a successful presidency, that he ought to take a page out of that book.
Yeah, and remember, at this point in Clinton's presidency, his approval ratings were lower than Obama's are right now.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the Republicans are going to have a hard time getting anything through the Senate.
Yeah, welcome to our nightmare.
Welcome to the suck.
It's like a condom with a hole in it, the Senate. Useless to everybody. Linda in Asheville, North Carolina.
I'm sorry, you just caught me off guard with your last comment.
Sorry about that.
Can't follow up on that. I'm just calling about the irony that President Obama came into office. He didn't want to look backward. He wanted to move forward. So he didn't prosecute Bush and Cheney. And like you said, Bush should be in The Hague. Karl Rove should be behind bars, not raising money for American Crossroads. And what's the first thing one of the first things they want to do now that they have control is impeach him over what? And so I just feel like the president has been incredibly naive, or he's just thought that everybody that he was going to extend his goodwill to was going to return it. You know, by not getting really tough with the banks, he expected them, I guess, to help the economy, not realizing how corrupt and how greedy everything is.
Oh, thanks for the huge bonuses. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he's still trying to cater to these same people, to these same institutions who, despite having gotten off the hook very easily, are just blatantly giving to the Republicans. So when he says they treat me like a dog,
he's
partly to blame for it.
But when you look at the Frank Dodd bill, you know, let's just start with that. I can't remember who I was reading. Someone that knows a lot more than I do. I think it might have even been Krugman, but, you know, said that, again, did we get everything? No, but it is the toughest financial reform that has been passed to date in this country.
It was a slap on the wrist, and to show, and so the bankers, no matter how the fact that they brought down this country, they couldn't even handle a tiny bit of regulation. And Obama,
well, right, but they're going to get less now.
Them,
I mean, if Republicans
at the beginning of his administration, you know, he could have really put the screws to him, and he didn't. And now they're putting the screws to him.
Mm-hmm.
And
go back. How are they putting the screws to him?
By giving more of the majority of their donations have been to the Republican Party.
Well, of course, because then they'll get no regulation at all if they can
that's what I'm saying. You know, he played easy with everybody, maybe in the hopes that they were going to extend the same goodwill towards the rest of the country. And that's incredibly naive. That's naive.
And I see. Yeah, all right. Thank you, honey. But I think, you know, I hope. But the thing is, Jim, the narrative is always that Clinton became successful because he moved to the center. And that's what, you know, you're thinking. Is this the lesson he thinks he's taking from Clinton? But I agree with you that we could use a little less Morgan Freeman, a little more Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames.
Right. Samuel L. Jackson.
Sure.
Or, yeah, Ving Rhames.
Yes. We need these bankers off his mother.
That's Samuel L. Jackson.
That's Samuel Jackson. I was saying that he needs to go medieval on the ass.
That's Ving Rhames.
Oh, okay.
That's Ving Rhames.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Oh, look, I still had time to screw up a movie reference. 46
Yay!
Minutes after the hour.
And the morning's still young.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, they set it off on the right, y'all.
Yeah.
Sure, oh, did. Y'all.
Y'all want this party started quickly.
Bless your hearts, y'all.
This party's going to disintegrate quickly.
Yeah.
If Rand Paul's any indication.
52 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Look, Jim, it's your favorite, conciliation.
Yay!
I look forward to a reformed United Nations Security Council that includes India as a permanent member.
Wait, that's not where I meant. I meant this.
Well, yeah.
I'm not talking about India.
Oh, goody, goody.
About with the Republicans.
My hope is that we may be in a position now where the two sides meet and agree on some things that need to be changed.
My hope is we'll get a unicorn that farts glitter.
I'm still holding out for the leprechaun that farts gold dust.
Ah, jeez. Where did I eat corned beef?
Or even better, gold coins from ATM. Okay.
ITM.
ITM trading.
Oh, boy.
Oh, not ATM.
Can you get gold coins from your ATM? Wow, that's pretty cool.
No, from ITM trading. All right, let's go to Lynn in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'd like to point out the minimum wage effect on the economy and on crime. If we could make a living wage, we might be able to buy something instead of trying to pick between firewood or tires or the electric bill. Doing the math, I don't see how anyone can't figure out that even at $400 a month rent plus electricity plus a car does not add up.
$400 a month?
Yeah, well, I mean, no, but I mean, wait till the Republicans get in there and start cutting unemployment, you know? And
Those people are just lazy.
Yes.
Come on, go out and inherit $1 billion like I did.
Wow, $400 a month. What's that like?
Carson in Chicago. He goes, that'd go far here in L.A.
Oh.
Hi. Hi, Carson.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to, report my disappointment in female voters, of which I am one. Mm-hmm. There's an article in the Tribune today that says that women, you know, went almost 10% from voting Democrat to Republican, and their reason for that was the economy. And I want to tell you a funny story. I have a friend who's a Democrat, and a bunch of us get together, and she told me right before the election that she said, I want to tell you a secret. I usually end up voting Republican, even though I'm a Democrat, because I'm afraid they're going to raise my property taxes.
Oh, come on.
And I don't understand where you go from, now I'm going to be rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Listening.
Yeah, it really is. By the way, here's the billionaire AstroTurf group. Claims that Tea Party has voted to give billionaires tax cuts. Americans for Prosperity, which means Americans for the Koch brothers' prosperity. That's really
right.
What that's about. See, it's run by billionaire David Koch. Claims that voters rejected the tax the rich ideas in the midterm elections.
That's far from the truth.
No. Uh-huh.
A website they launched right after the election it rallies its supporters to oppose any action by Congress during the lame duck session while Democrats are still in control. Yeah, that would be... inconvenient for him. Not only does the website falsely claim Democrats intend to pass enormous Social Security tax hikes, it also makes the absurd claim that the midterm elections were driven by popular support for the Bush tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. They write on the website, you have no right to raise taxes on any American while the economy remains weak after class warfare tax the rich ideas were decisively rejected in the national election. Yeah, exactly. Number three,
an issue.
Number two, it's wrong to cheat the American people by voting to fund Obamacare before a new Congress elected not to fund it can be seated.
Right.
Oh, I see. I get the rules now. Oh, all right. We're not allowed to do anything even though we won the last time. We have to wait. Yeah, sure.
The American people weren't speaking in 2008 and 2006, but now they are.
Now they are speaking.
Yes.
In a midterm election.
I don't know who those people were, but they weren't Americans.
Yeah, they were kidding 2 years ago. By the way, and did Rush Limbaugh shut up for the last 2 years? No, he did not. Wasn't that supposed to be the rule? Weren't you supposed
to shut
up?
Yeah. Just shut up! Just go away, bury yourselves in your rat holes, and don't come out till you win an election. When you win an election, you can put all these socialist wackos like Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Stephen Breyer all over the court. Mm. But until then, shut up!
He must not have soundproofed his rat hole, because I heard him an awful lot during the last couple of years.
He's a really gay-looking rat hole.
Wow.
Wow. The pictures with the frescoes and the... Oh, my God.
And the naked nymphs sort of painted on the ceiling.
Faux Versailles apartment.
It's like Liberace's apartment exploded inside his... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wish my brother George was here.
Chris,
this is moisture-proof and waterproof.
Oh, boy. Okay, Representative Chris Van Hollen.
Look, on Tuesday... This was a lot bigger than Nancy Pelosi. We lost over 607 state legislators. 19 state legislative bodies switched control from Democrats to Republicans.
Jim Clyburn, by the way, is fighting out with Steny Hoyer for the minority whip post in the next Congress. They're expected to meet with expected to meet with Hoyer and Nancy Pelosi to discuss the Democratic leadership situation. Hoyer and Clyburn both believe they have the votes, so I don't know what's going to happen there. All I know is that I want Nancy Pelosi to stay because the Republicans want her to go. So
Oh, she'd be terrible. No, don't. She, what a nightmare that would be for the Democrats if she were. Please don't.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're just scared.
She's not going away. Oh, no.
When did the Republicans become so whiny?
Well, I guess when they put a weeping orange boner in charge.
I know.
I had to work at a job and to do stuff to get paid.
I told my constituents in 1990 when they elected me that if they thought my job was to come to Washington and rob the public treasury on their behalf, they're voting for the wrong guy. I said it. I meant it.
Yeah, he's like, by the way, meet the man from K Street, John Boner, is the name of the article. We will talk about that next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephaniemiller.com. Thank you for all the emails. You can email us all there, executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. How did I know? Big drinkers, our audience, big drinkers. We've been speculating all morning on what the hell did George Bush mean by a B&B? We thought maybe he misspoke again, or right. Was still drunk and meant a bed and breakfast when he was.
Yeah, I'd have a beer. And so the book starts off with Laura saying, can you tell me a day in which you haven't had a drink? And when you drink too much, the answer is, yes, I can. And then I couldn't remember a day. And, you know, I could easily have a beer or two, or a martini before dinner, bourbons, B&Bs. I was a drinker. Now, I wasn't a knee-walking drunk.
Not a knee-walking.
They do serve alcohol at B&Bs.
That's true.
Some B&Bs.
But see, now, he said bourbon separate from the B&B.
That's true. So maybe he did mean Benedictine
and brandy. And I think he meant the preppy elitist drink, the Benedictine and brandy, because he is a prep school snob Connecticut.
Not a single one of those drinks was sweet. I have a feeling he doesn't like the sweet drinks. So I really think it's
some
bourbon and branch.
Some people speculate. Laura, Wisconsin, says it's bourbon and branch, common Texas drink. It's branch water. They call
water
branch.
Branch.
I don't.
Yeah, it's water from the branch of the river.
Sure.
I don't think you want to drink anything from the river these days.
Well, it's just slang for water. I think.
Ooh, it's right. Bourbon and Corexit. Yum.
But apparently, a bourbon and branch was J.R. Ewing's favorite drink in Dallas.
And look what happened
to him. Saying is he said bourbon separately. He said I'd have a bourbon or a B&B.
Right.
Well,
those are two separate drinks. A bourbon and a bourbon and water. Those are two different things.
Okay. Not that different.
I think he meant the snotty. He probably drank it at his snotty prep school in Connecticut.
He doesn't strike me as a sweet drink.
He's not really a Texan, please.
I just meant beer and more beer. B&B.
Boy, he sounded like a man talking about lost lovers, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Holy cow.
Oh, God, do I miss it? Oh, man, I want to drink right now.
Martini.
Oh, I can just taste it.
I don't know what it's been like spending all this time with the Joker sober. Oh, dear God. That woman. Oh, pickles. Oh, I'm sorry. What? Okay. All right, this is a medical snack, I suppose.
Oh? When did we get a medical snack?
More Australian women opt for genital plastic surgery.
Oh, dear.
When it involves that.
Yeah, why did we get a medical stack?
The number of Medicare-funded operations to reduce the size of women's genitals.
Wow.
Has
Medicare funds this sort of thing?
Has trebled
in
a decade.
Australia.
In Australia, Medicare funds?
Too right.
Okay.
It's trebled in a decade. A strong indication some procedures are being performed for cosmetic rather than medical reasons. The biggest increase in vaginoplasty and labioplasty has been among teenagers and those in their early
20s. Teenagers? What? Really?
They don't need to get things tightened up.
No.
That's what they're saying. They suspect it's just,
stands out like a shag in a rock.
Labioplasty? What are you, making balloon animals out of it? Stop it. What are you?
So they can do puppetry of the vulva. The shadows want a fair shake.
Puppetry of the vulva.
The blokes. The blokes get to do the puppetry of the penis. Why not the shadows as well?
All right. By the way, the last time you made that analogy, that horrible analogy about throwing a hot dog down the hallway.
You made that.
I said a broomstick in a garbage can. You always do the hot dog down the hallway.
It's like throwing a hot dog down the hallway.
Yes. And one of my female listeners wrote and said, in that analogy, isn't the hot dog at least part of the problem? I think so. Thank you.
No,
I think the hot dog the is.
In your analogy, the broomstick is part of the problem. Right?
Exactly. It's two sides to that problem, is what I'm saying.
Well, then maybe you need to look into interspecies things. Carl Paladino can help you out with that.
What?
Why?
Okay. Never mind.
All right.
Oh, God.
Here's another one of those horrible stories. A Florida woman and her boyfriend have been charged with trying to sell her infant grandson for $30,000. That is awful. You can get at least $50,000 for an infant.
Wow. Does she have a bad financial advisor?
What a moron. Okay, let's see how
we
did
that. Is that not the point of that story? Oh, okay.
See, every time we do a story like that, that's where we go with that, because that's...
Because you don't like kids.
No, I do not.
But kids are attracted to you.
My friend actually called me today. She's like, would you like to volunteer for this charity where you get to take kids to Disneyland for like 8 hours? I was like, oh, wow, I can't think of anything more. Wow, fun. Wow.
They're kids. Just go in the teacups forever.
Two of your favorite things, kids and Disneyland.
For
8 hours.
Keep them on the teacup ride for all 8 hours.
Sandy in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
With everything going on, I just want to remind people that more than likely in the next 6 years, a new Supreme Court justice is going to have to be appointed. And I would rather have a Democrat president than a Republican.
Yep.
Because the Supreme Court justice holds, I mean, they have more power than any of the other offices. And whatever they say is set in granite. And any decision they make, it's very hard to take back. So keep that in mind.
Yes.
Keep a Democrat.
And I don't know about you, but I would like an apology from Virginia Thomas for her husband and his performance on the court. And I, you know what? I may try every morning at 7:30 until I get an apology from her.
It's a good idea.
What Alito says, or what you would call it?
What he says.
What Scalia says. What kind of justice is that? Okay, Al in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Al.
Hi, Steph.
Hello.
Yeah, first time caller. I just like to say about everybody saying that that Obama is too soft, and I'd like to make two points. I think Americans are progressives. I'd like to say that we have like this fast food attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Did people not hear the president when he was stomping for the Dems all over the country?
Yeah, was that signed at the rally for sanity? The what do we want? Patience. When do we want it? Now!
Yeah, exactly. I just don't get it. Is our forgetter better than our remember?
Yeah.
I mean, do we not hear the president fighting? I mean, he was fighting for us. I mean, he did better than Clinton.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, if nothing, it reminds you, it's Bush being back on TV.
Yeah.
You're like, ah! Okay.
My biggest regret was having that black guy say bad things about me. That was bad.
The other black guy. Kanye.
Not that one.
Yeah, Kanye.
Kanye, not.
You know, the other one.
Bill in Paso Robles. Hello, Bill.
Yeah, hi, Steph. Say, I was just wondering if you and or Jim and or Chris think that the Dems are going to have to or will in some form resort to reconciliation to dump the extension of the tax cut for the rich and continue the tax cut for the middle class and the upcoming lame duck session. That's it.
My feeling is they should do as much as they possibly can. Rube Pundit blogged about this.
Yeah.
That they should do as much as they possibly can in the lame duck. Why not?
Hadn't thought about it, but that's a good tool that we could use, and that's why I fought for it when it was disadvantaged. A disadvantage for us too.
You've got to take advantage of every
exactly
as the Republicans have been doing for years.
By the way, Mitch McConnell sounding kind of porky and establishmenty, isn't he?
I think all of you know you could eliminate every congressional earmark and you would save no money. It's really an argument about discretion.
Oh,
how would you
I see.
Save no money?
Oh, I see. He and Rand Paul are saying for Kentucky, it's different.
Oh,
see? Yeah. As long as the pork's for Kentucky, it's not really. It's not like Democratic pork.
Yeah.
Kentucky gets a filthy lucre exception.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way.
It's almost the red states that get all the federal.
Sit back and watch the Tea Party fun, won't you? That crazy Michelle Bachmann sent a second letter to her Republican colleagues seeking support in her bid for Republican conference chairwoman, signaling that she best represents the crazy tea backers. She said, after helping us regain the majority in the House of Representatives in historic fashion, Tea Partiers are expecting their views will be heard. She, of course, is facing stiff competition from Texas Representative Jeb Hensarling, who has the support of Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan, Paul Braun, Spencer Backus, and Marsha Blackburn, the other crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy in the Tea Party. So we'll see how that all plays out. She won't be ignored. Michelle Bachmann will not be ignored.
I'm not going to be ignored.
Gillen.
Keep it away from the rabbit.
Yeah. Gillen. And the knives.
Yeah. Ooh, and Boner looks kind of like an orange rabbit. Yikes. Gillen Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Orange rabbit?
Hey,
John Boehner looks like an orange rabbit. He looks like a sad orange rabbit.
Why are rabbits orange?
He happens to be orange, and he looks like a sad rabbit. We've talked about it before.
Okay.
It's been photoshopped many times on 70miller.com. Hi, Gil.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I just wanted to join in the comment that you had a young lady on about the female voters. And I've just been, first off, I love women so much, I made two daughters. And I am raising progressives.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been amazed that with women being the majority of the electorate, that it has always been, because this lady on your show said, well, it was about the economy. That's why the one lady voted Republican. Well, since the female majority in the electorate has never voted in representation to ratify the ERA, it will always be about the economy for women in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why don't women, seriously, you know, I mean, this whole thing about women are progressives until they have kids. And I know this for a fact. And as soon as they have kids, all of a sudden they get conservative. They don't remember how, you know, they used to be.
Well, they're not conservative enough to vote for Carly Fiorina or Meg Whitman or Linda McMahon. You know,
well,
I mean,
you know, thank goodness. But the fact of the matter is that we in this country, we like to say we're this and we're that and we're the greatest. But we still do not have the Equal Rights Amendment that will allow a female who's qualified to get paid as much as a man.
Yep.
And
well,
I
mean,
2010.
Right. And that's why, you know, the Lilly Ledbetter Act was actually another big thing, I think, that President Obama did that he didn't get a lot of credit for.
Things have changed a little bit since that's been proposed. More men are losing their jobs than women in this economy. So
right. But there's, his point is there's still not equal pay. So
well, if you're getting no pay, then equal pay
and that's
is not something to strive for.
It's equal to nothing. 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, I forgot. In the meantime, I need to. Why didn't we have a GoToMeeting to remind me to talk about GoToMeeting here?
Oh, I probably should have reminded you before the segment started, right?
Yes, I think you probably should have. Like most of America, you'll probably be traveling this holiday season. But it's a busy time of year. Even though you're taking time off, you may need to meet with clients or colleagues, work on end-of-the-year goals, plan for next year. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix. With GoToMeeting, all you need is that internet connection. You can have a meeting online instantly, demonstrate, present, collaborate in real time. It takes about 2 seconds to download. You can start a meeting on the fly or schedule one in advance. It's like meeting in person, even when you're miles away with the in-laws enjoying time at home. We use GoToMeeting here all the time at the Stephanie Miller Show. My listeners can try it free right now for 30 days. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The more you hear it, the funnier it gets.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Michael O'Brien, political reporter for The Hill, coming up after the bottom of the hour to talk about the lame duck session. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Bruce in Katona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bruce.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
First,
Hey, good. During the ad break, I heard you say that your career is based on your mouth. That's a little scary.
Yes.
But besides that, I understand George Bush being deeply offended by Kanye's comment saying that he hates black people. That's totally untrue. He hates all poor people. Doesn't care.
That's true. Doesn't care what color you are. He's exactly. Oh, boy.
Go out and inherit $1 million, lazy bastards.
Sam,
what I done?
Sam in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
Hi, Sam. Hello.
Oh, yes. Yes. How are you? You guys are doing a good job. You make my day going to work every day.
Good.
Two things I really want to point out. Remember how the Republicans demonized Bill Clinton because of the gay situation? And that's how you ended up with don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
And he had to kind of blend in after the second term to be able to win the second term election. And the Republicans ended up branding him as, yes, me too, because he started shifting towards whatever ideas that they had, and he embellished it to at least make it a mainstream issue. Now, what progressives really have to understand is basic liberals are not going to win this election. Look at the whole landscape across this nation. It's all red. And this is so amazing. Independents are the key issue here. And we have to find a way to bring them along in things that we do. And the president has to find a way to compromise just the way the Republicans are trying to make him seem like he's not. He's trying his best, but we don't have his back.
I hear you. Well, you know, by the way, don't ask, don't tell seems to be a perfect subject for me. What are the polls, Chris? What are they now? 70%, 75% of Americans?
About 70%.
Think don't ask, don't tell should be a... So to me, it's like, is this a terribly courageous thing to do? Robert Gates even said, Defense Secretary Robert Gates said he would like Congress to repeal don't ask, don't tell in the lame duck session, but was not sure what the prospects are for that now, which... The Wall Street Journal declared the Democrats' long-promised repeal of don't ask, don't tell is all but lost, is what she was reporting Monday. John McCain is in talks with Carl Levin to strip the repeal from the must-pass defense reauthorization bill, the Wall Street Journal reports. A human rights campaign spokesman said his organization still thinks repeal is possible. Democratic senators would be making a mistake if they don't push for repeal, he says. It would be a mistake to bow to the whims of a small group of senators. Leaked results of the Pentagon's internal survey of troops show that most of them are fine with serving with openly gay comrades. Gay voters, of course, have already expressed their dissatisfaction with Democrats. A larger percentage of gay voters defected from Democrats to Republicans in the midterms than did other solidly
Which
Democratic
is
groups.
Incredibly dumb.
Yes, such as I've already given them a talking to, such as Hispanic, Black, and young voters. An expert on the gay electorate said the drop may be attributed to dissatisfaction with the pace of change, which, never is when we'll get it done under Republicans. So I really hope they try in the lame duck session, because it's, to me, that isn't something that's even controversial anymore. Don't ask, don't tell. Let's go to Mary in San Francisco. Hi, Mayor.
Hey. Well, two things. One is, Jim, the reason why the men are getting downsized is because the women are cheaper. And so that's why they keep the women, and it's actually in men's best interest to make sure that women get paid just as much as men.
So we have just as good a chance of getting fired.
The risk of getting taken over on their jobs. And the other thing is the reason why they will not get rid of don't ask, don't tell is because the gays are the last group that they feel they can easily demonize without essentially getting into racist territory.
Right.
And as long as they can be an issue, that is a voting issue, and they will never repeal it as long as they can use that. So unfortunately, that's where we stuck.
But that's what I mean. Some of these candidates, and granted, some of them lost big, but just seemed so retro on that issue. Paladino and O'Donnell, and it's like, what?
Moved on. I mean, there's gays in television.
What?
Oh my God!
It's not a huge
gays in the arts. What?
And there's only a small kind of crazy group that actually feels it's an issue. And the reason why they always win is because on their side, they're fanatically anti-gay. And on our side, we're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't care. So
well,
no real...
When I saw that a third of gays voted Republican, I mean, I just went insane. Because, you know, it's like, enjoy your snit fit. I mean, forget serving in the military, getting married. Like, now good luck teaching if Jim DeMint has his way.
No.
And Jim DeMint is a power in the Republican Party. He's not some lunatic fringe.
Yeah. Well, eventually the thing will evolve simply because the new young people today just don't have the fire in their belly about gays like the older people do, and eventually the older people will die off, and then the younger people will just get mainstreamed in, and pretty soon people will be talking about it as though it was this weird historical fact
yeah.
that people were crazy about gay people. But unfortunately, yeah. until that time, we've still got a couple of decades left of people acting like lunatics. So what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. All right, Mary, thank you. Oh, two more decades, I got to put that in my calendar. I use a paper calendar. That's how old
God,
I am.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm. I just mark important things with a partially used Werther's candy. 29 minutes after the hour. All right, two more years.
Ribbon candy.
Right back with a reporter for The Hill next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That son of a bitch hippie.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I missed the last part of that one.
Who could you be talking about?
34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Michael O'Brien is a reporter for The Hill magazine. He joins us now. Good morning, Michael.
Hi.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you know, obviously everybody talking about what is or is not going to happen in the lame duck session. What do you think?
Well, it looks like taxes are going to come up, and it could be don't ask, don't tell, but it's looking like a deal could be made to kind of skip over that for now as well.
Well, you know, I was just saying that before the break, Michael, which is obviously depressing to a lot of us, you know, because even Robert Gates had said he wishes they would pass it in the lame duck session.
Right, absolutely. You know, it is a big letdown, and especially since, you know, Congress is becoming more Republican, it's difficult to see how this goes through.
What? So, just out of curiosity, why don't the Democrats stand up on this one and try to get it done during the lame duck?
Well, I mean, if you take a look at what happened before the recess, you were in a situation where they just couldn't get a single Republican vote. And now that you have new members joining, you know, Congressman Kirk will be in the Senate later this month, it's tough to see where they pick up the votes as long as Republicans are sort of being stubborn about this.
So, in that sense, then, what do you see is the obviously it looks like McCain is making a deal to take this out of the defense appropriation bill. What is the future, then, of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? What happens when this study is completed?
Well, I think there are several options. I think the president does have the option of going through and issuing some sort of order that would do away with the policy, but he's long said that he prefers to do this through legislation to sort of make it more permanent. I think you would take a look at, you know, whenever that study comes out, the administration and Democrats in Congress sort of examining their options and taking a look at what's available and what's most feasible. The reality is they did make a pledge to their base on this, and I think that a lot of LGBT voters who went out and, you know, kind of went to bat for the administration in 2008 and again in 2010 would be very disappointed if this were left on the table.
Well, you know, and what we're hearing, I mean, obviously what I had just heard said before the break, what we're hearing leaking from the study is that, of course, what we always thought, most soldiers are fine with serving. So what excuse are Republicans going to have when 70% of the American people want it overturned, the military wants it overturned, the study comes out fine, then what?
Well, I'm not going to presume to speak for Republicans or Democrats, but
I'm just taking it out on you because you're here.
Quite all right. You know, they do make the argument about military readiness, and you know, they're saying they're waiting for the results of this study. You know, whether or not any Republicans actually change their mind as a basis of this study, you know, could be something pretty interesting. It's conceivable that, you know, senators like, for instance, Richard Lugar or even Scott Brown in Massachusetts, or the Maine senators could say, all right, well, the military signed off on this. Maybe there's you know, some political cover for us. But then again, a lot of these same people are taking a look at potential primary challenges from the right come 2012. So we'll see.
Oy vey. Yeah. Well, I can see where it's the military is much more ready by firing all those unnecessary Arabic translators that might be able to help in the war on terror. All right, Michael, you write about the Democrats are seizing on a Republican press release, speaking of the military, that says Speaker Pelosi should be put in her place by, who was it, General McChrystal?
Right.
Yes. Our friends Debbie Stabenow and Debbie Wasserman Schultz depict the GOP as holding extreme and outdated views. The press release issued by the its National Republican Congressional Committee said that Pelosi should be put in her place by General McChrystal. Well, what was that all about?
Right. I mean, that's a little dated at this point, but, you know, it was sort of this dynamic where, you know, you have a Democratic Party that has a lot of visible women leaders who, you know, saw that as sort of an assault on Speaker Pelosi, arguably the most visible woman in power in this country. So I think that's another dynamic that's going to be in place, especially as, you know, Democrats take a look at their leadership elections and Republicans take a look at their leadership elections as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but I think a lot of times, too, it sort of demonstrates a larger, I think Debbie Wasserman Schultz was saying the release was demeaning and demonstrative of Republican attitudes toward women in general. She said it was understandable the GOP wouldn't understand women because few of their elected representatives in Washington are female. And I have to say, is it me or did more than usual female candidates implode on the Republican side in this cycle?
Well, there were some high-profile collapses, of course, Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Angle, and some other ones, you know, especially after, you know, Sarah Palin had sort of talked about, you know, the year of the woman or the mama grizzly. But there were some high-profile victories, too. Nikki Haley in South Carolina, that had a lot of gender issues come into play, especially after the affair allegations against her. And then there's Kristi Noem, right, who beat Stephanie Hertzog-Sandlin in South Dakota. She looks to be somewhat of a rising star who Republicans appear likely to elect as the president of their freshman class.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, I think what the Democrats are probably turning to now, as you write in this last piece about, you know, just their policies. I know that Senator Stabenow was talking about remarks by John Kyle, who questioned the need for health insurance policies to cover maternity care, which if that doesn't go into the doesn't get it category, I don't know what does.
Right, and that was sort of the argument that Democrats made to women voters out there, saying, you know, that this health care bill was one of the most pro-woman pieces of legislation that they passed. Whether or not that sort of, I guess, held water with women voters, I haven't taken a look at the specific crosstabs, but certainly, you know, Republicans managed to message effectively against that bill and some of the priorities that mm-hmm. Democrats had held up as some of their biggest accomplishments.
Michael, what obviously, you know, the upcoming, not the lame duck now, but the upcoming Congress in January, what is your take? Because, you know, clearly we have just watched this unprecedented obstructionism. And I mean, I can't imagine it. So now what happens? You know, everybody says, oh, we want divided government. How does that work in reality, do you think?
It's such an interesting dynamic right now because you have people talking in a lot of sort of buzzwords, compromise, no compromise, come to the table, not come to the table. You know, the president has said he's willing to take a look at some areas of compromise, and so have Democratic leaders. Republicans have said, yeah, sure, we're for compromise if it's only, you know, the president coming to our position, the Democrats
yes, which,
to our position.
Somebody needs to get them a thesaurus on what actually compromise means.
So right. I mean, we've heard a lot of talk, but, you know, how is that going to play out? It's yet to be seen, especially since Republicans seem to be in no mood for compromising and face a lot of pressure from their base, too.
Well, you know, and a lot of people have already said, oh, the president's sounding too conciliatory. But, you know, what could the president have done? I mean, obviously, I would assume in the history of politics, the president hasn't stood up after this and gone, screw you.
Right.
I mean, you know, isn't that in a way part of the dance of politics that they, you know, they both have to sort of say, oh, yes, of course, we're going to work together.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the president would have, I think, faced more problems had he not appeared somewhat chastened after, you know, the shellacking, in his words, that Democrats received.
But isn't this another perception thing, Michael, that, you know, here we have, you know, the Republicans calling him a socialist and the progressive base is unhappy because he's not, you know, he's not a progressive enough. And here you have, you know, this is this meme all the time that he's arrogant. And a lot of people thought he was too humble in the press conference.
You know, I want to say that one of the most interesting things that I've seen is progressives' reaction to the 60 Minutes interview he gave on Sunday, where, you know, he was very subdued and very analytical. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to contrast that with the way that after the 2006 elections, President Bush came out and announced the surge. You know, I think that the big knock against him and the emerging conventional wisdom is that, you know, pick a position, you know, but at least be fired up about it. You know, go to the center, go to the left, but, you know, go for it all. And I think that's sort of the kind of emerging dialogue about his immediate reaction to the election.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I think that, as you say, I mean, the Republicans, their idea of compromise, I mean, they literally say, well, if he comes our way, and, I mean, part of it is the way the two parties use power, right? Because you go, first of all, you don't control the Senate, and he's still the president of the United States. I mean, they're acting like it's a hostage crisis already.
Right, and, you know, Republicans, to their credit, have already started messaging this pretty effectively. They've already started to blame the president for the prospect of a government shutdown if it happens. They've said that, oh, well, you know, if we're forced to, you know, not make a deal, then, you know, it's clearly his fault.
Well, that's the scary thing, is a lot of the Republicans the message they seem to have taken from 94 is, you know, they didn't go far enough. You know?
Right. I mean, and a lot of people have, you know, talked about no desire for a government shutdown, but, you know, at the same time, they've made it clear that it could be an option if, in their view, the president isn't conciliatory enough.
Yeah. Well, here's the president from the interview you talked about.
I've got to adapt the presidency to reach as many people as possible in as many settings as possible so that they can hear directly from me. You know, but this is an example of where, you know, on the one hand, folks say, well, you know, he's a little too remote. Then if I'm on The View, well, you know, he shouldn't be, you know, on some daytime TV show. My attitude is if I'm reaching people, if I'm talking to them, I'm willing to take the risks of overexposure on that front.
Well, I mean, that's been one of the dilemmas, hasn't it, Michael? I mean, literally, he can't seem to do anything right. So, you know, so what course is he going to chart going forward, do you think?
Right. And, you know, in terms of his ability to connect, that's really what it comes down to. You know, he can go on The View, The Daily Show, MTV, all he wants. If people aren't feeling like this is a president who gets it, you know, that's ultimately going to be his problem going into 2012. Like I said, he's got to stake out a position. He can, you know, run to the center like Clinton did. He can, you know, kind of go left and really, you know, placate his base. But people have to feel like he's going to commit to it at this point.
Do you think anything's going to get done in this next Congress? I mean, or are they going to run up against the same obstruction of not getting anything through the Senate that we did?
I think both sides take a huge gamble by not doing anything. It's difficult to see at this point, 2 years out, who comes out on top. But by saying, you know, I'm not going to do anything, I think that's a big risk. So, you know, it might be.
Well, I just mean the House Republicans seem to be just acting so cocky already and overreaching and not realizing, like, hey, guess what? The Democrats still control the Senate and the White House. I mean, they seem to already be trying to dictate to the president, don't they?
Right. And, you know, that's one of the risks that they face. If they feel like they're going to run the show now, I think they're kind of in for a bit of an awakening, because the reality is, you know, two of the three major components here are controlled by Democrats. You know, that said, you know, you already see somebody like Harry Reid in the Senate talking about the need for compromise, potential fixes to the health care bill, you know, compromises on taxes. So, you know, who knows if the Republicans in the House are able to find some partnership in the Senate.
Right. Well, that's exactly it. That's what I was going to say, is in some ways, you know, to me, it's more significant when Clinton lost, let's say, for instance, the House and the Senate, because now it's like, who cares how much a bill passes by in the House? It passes or it doesn't. Right? Like, so now it may pass by more, but you still got the Senate to deal with, just like, you know, we have in the last 2 years. Michael, thanks so much for your time and your great reporting on all this, and we will talk again, I hope.
All right, thanks for having me.
All right, thank you, Michael. Michael O'Brien from The Hill.
He seemed very knowledgeable, and he was trying his hardest to go right down the middle there with you.
That's what I like to do. I like to keep shoving them into the left lockers.
Yes and no.
The Democrats do that, and also the Republicans do, too.
I got your equivalency right here. 47 minutes after the hour, right back.
It here and here.
We'll have to leave it there.
But he was very good. I liked him.
Yes. Yeah. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You want to get nuts? Come on! Let's get nuts.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. She's a bad mama jamma. Just as fine as she can be.
Hey, she's a bad mama jamma. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. And Carl Frisch from Media Matters, of course, co-hosts Right Wing World. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jonathan in Minneapolis. Hey, John.
Hey, how are you doing, baby mama?
Hello. I'm your baby mama? I don't remember that.
it was a long night. You know, we had some things to drink and stuff like that.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Okay, now I remember.
Hey, that was me. I'm a strong Democrat, and I was knocking on doors on Tuesday night supporting Mark Dayton and Keith Ellison here in Minnesota. And one thing I am frustrated about, not with my crew, because I have Al Franken and Klobuchar and those guys.
Right.
But I guess the party as a whole, I feel like they're taking their political strategies from the Republicans. It's like taking financial advice from Bernie Madoff. We keep following them, and it's not working. I mean, they say, like, I feel like they're, like, caving in on things. Like, oh, you don't want to support Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Oh, maybe we shouldn't. Ha-ha, you got burned. Don't put Speaker Pelosi in the minority whip position.
See, I don't get why they're scared to do anything, the lame duck. It's like, what are you going to do, fire me? That's the time exactly. Where you pee on the boss's desk, for God's sake. You're already fired.
You've done that.
Might as well get something done.
You're fired.
You were fired and then given two more days to broadcast.
Yeah.
It only lasted...
Wasn't my bad decision.
It only lasted one day.
As it turns out, it was shorter than planned.
Yes.
Jerry in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mooks. I would like to be the official openly gay African-American karaoke singer of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, so done.
And I also have been a longtime supporter of Barack Obama, donated money, supported him all through the primaries, and I have to say that they have done a lot to dishearten the base. They didn't support things that the base wanted on health care. They have people like Rahm Emanuel calling us the F-word retards. You know, they have the press secretary saying, you know, the professional left. And then
I'm not sorry to see Rahm Emanuel go, I have to say.
Right, and then when we ran somebody against Blanche Lincoln, you know, they made that comment about, you just flushed $10 million down the drain.
You know, it'd
they were not being...
Right. It'd be interesting to see. It'd be interesting to see how Bill Halter would have done, don't you think?
I think it would be very interesting to see.
I mean, that was someone that did get the base fired up. I mean, you're absolutely right. It would have been interesting to see. All right, the quick celebrity stack. Taylor Swift says her school bullies inspired her to become a
it's
musician.
A great story. Yeah.
Aww.
Yes, and to deal with adult bullies like Kanye West later in her career. She said there are two ways you can deal with it. If you're bullied, you can let it destroy you, or you can use it to fuel to drive you. So I would like to take this opportunity to thank Carol Fisher for bringing me up in front of the Y and driving me to the drunken mediocrity that I know.
Yes, but you didn't stay home practicing guitar till your fingers bled.
No.
Unlike Taylor Swift.
I did not. I just went home and started drinking.
Yes.
Thanks to Roman Gomez for calling me fat in silent reading in fifth grade.
Thank you, Roman.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you now.
I wonder what he's doing.
Magic.
He was probably one of those people who posed in the Sharon Angle scary Mexicans video.
Hey, speaking of bullying...
Oh, sorry, they were Asian. Yeah.
Speaking
of
bullying...
They look Asian to her.
What?
Where's my fancy Hollywood music? Jim, have you noticed that I'm getting too big for my fancy Hollywood britches these days?
Oh, really?
What with being a professional gay and all. But a lot of people fighting the bullies of the world, including the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center, they're having a big gala. Did I say that right?
Well, if it involves the gays, it's
it
a gala.
It could be a gala.
Well, they're having one this Saturday. If you're here in the L.A. Area, please come. Go to anniversarygala.org. Check this out. My friend Lily Tomlin is hosting it.
Cool.
Carol Burnett is performing. Jane Lynch getting an award. Matthew Morrison, both of them, of course, from Glee. Our friend Julie Brown performing. Go support the fine folks at the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center. They do fine work over there. Okay.
Isn't this the event that Julie Brown brought to your attention when she was here in studio?
Yes. Okay. And I told you, I actually, Lily and Jane called me yesterday, and I've known them 20 years, and I still say the same thing, Jim. I say,
and then she punching you in the chest through the phone.
She's my comedy hero, and Carol Burnett is my other comedy hero who I've never met, so I will be I will be even less eloquent than
my mom met her many years ago. They were staying
Lily
in the same
will
place
say, I don't think you've ever met Carol, and I will say, and then I will melt into a little pup.
I drive past Carol Burnett's childhood apartment pretty much every day on my way to the gym from work.
Oh, you name apartment and dropper. Jane Lynch is getting the highest award, the fabulous actress. By the way, she let drop that Sue Sylvester, her character on Glee, is getting married. And then she wasn't supposed to say that. She said, I probably wasn't supposed to say that.
What kind of married?
I don't know. Doesn't say. Getting married. The Sue Sylvester character, she says, is getting married on Glee.
Sue Sylvester's never even dated, as far as I know, on Glee.
Will she wear the tracksuit for the ceremony? Who knows?
Who knows?
Fancy lacy tracksuit.
All right, let me do Deanna Naperville real quick to close us out. Hey, Deanna.
Hi. I just wanted to say real quick that the White House did come out last night with a statement saying that they oppose any effort to strip the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal out of the Authorization Act.
Oh, good. Well, maybe there's hope. All right, thank you for that, Deanna. Thank you. Well, there's hope for that. We will be here tomorrow, of course, with my happy, clappy liberal friend Hal Sparks for Hump Days with Hal.
And he'll bring his cameras.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Put some makeup on.
Mm. I'll wear a sinister mustache. I can play the bizarro me.
Awesome. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Warren, Miranda Moreno. We'll see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.